We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Chris Fluitt, and this is the second week of our First Things First series. Now in this series, we are focused on priority and defining what is worthy of first place in our life. Everything in your life is vying for that number one spot. Every TV show out there wants to be your favorite TV show. Every new movie that comes out wants to be first in the box office, and they want you there. Every store has their signs coming out, says, come here first. That's really what they put those advertisements on your Facebook page. You don't even know it, but they're sponsored ads all over, and it's like, click here first before you go visit Aunt Ida's Facebook page. Come visit us and buy this stuff on Amazon. Everybody is vying for first place, but not everything is worthy of first place. I mean, that'll preach right there. That is a lesson that everyone needs to learn right there. As we begin this year, we're already asking ourselves, what should we put first this year? What change should we make first? What should we try to fix or rebuild first? We are looking through the book of Ezra to help us frame our year. And Ezra has some really good help for us. Last week, we talked about the setting of Ezra. Israel had come back from 70 years of exile. They spent 70 years as slaves in another nation called Babylon. They returned to a capital city that had been destroyed by an enemy and left for decay for generations. Can you imagine what your home would look like if you just let it sit for 1 year? Now, can you imagine what your house would look like if you let it sit for 70 years? You would not have much of a house left. The capital city of Israel, Jerusalem, sat vacant for 70 years. It sat decaying in ruin for 70 years. And now they have returned. And the walls, they're not walls anymore. They're all torn down. And the houses, they're all collapsed on themselves. And the roads are overtaken by nature. And the once great temple, it had been destroyed. And now it just laid in boulders and waste and ruin. This was the city that they loved. This was the city that they cared about. This was the city that they placed all their hope. This was the city of peace, Jerusalem, the place of peace that God had promised them, promised their father Abraham. Israel stood in the middle of this mess and had a where to start moment. Where to start? We talked about that last week. I told you about, I walk in my living room, my kids have made an utter mess of it. And you look around and you go, I don't know what to clean first. I don't know which kid to help stop screaming first. I don't know what, I've got the dog, I've got two kids, I've got everything. What do I do first, right? Yeah. You're sitting at the beginning of your year. You need to figure out very quickly what it is you're supposed to do first. Of all the things they could do first, the children of Israel decided to build an altar first. That's what they did. We encouraged you last week, and we want to encourage you again today to build an altar first. Before you do anything this year, let us build an altar. What is the altar? The altar is a place to acknowledge a meeting with God, or a cry that such a meeting should take place. That's what the altar represents. If someone had a meeting with God, they built an altar to remember that moment and send praise up to God. If someone needed to meet God and it's been a while since I've talked to God, I've got so much sin in my life, I need to build an altar and cry out that God would meet me here. That is what an altar is about. We got to build an altar in our life. We should do it first. As we look at our lives, we see some areas that are in just as much turmoil and disrepair as the city of Jerusalem was in the book of Ezra. Yeah. It's just as messed up. Before you do anything, before you make a big decision, before you start a task, before you react to change. All right. You know, change happens to us, but usually we just react to it. Yeah. Before you do any of that stuff, you should build an altar first. Amen. All right. You can build an altar anywhere and at any time. It's easy to build an altar. Some things take years to fix. years to repair and rebuild. But a relationship with God can be built very quickly. Altars can be built very easily and quickly. There is no reason for you to leave this place today without building an altar. Last Sunday, we built an altar after service as we gathered and talked to God and we worshiped right here. That's what we did. And on Wednesday, we met together in our homes. And we built an altar as we prayed together. We prayed over everyone in this church. If you're in this place today, you probably got prayed over. We built an altar in that place and called your name in that place. And yesterday, we built an altar at the Villaggio Alzheimer's Care Center in Plano as we sang and talked about Jesus with these sweet, wonderful people. You should build an altar every day. There shouldn't be a church program for you to go, okay, I'm going to have an altar experience. I'm going to have a meeting place with God. No, you should have one every day. It should be habitual. Just like you should talk to your husband or your wife every day. You should talk to the creator of the heavens and the earth every day. Build an altar every day at every place and at every time. Israel made use of the altar they had built. The children of Israel made consistent use of that altar. Let's read together in Ezra chapter 3, verse 3. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Verse 4, then in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the Feast of the Tabernacles with required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. Verse 5, after that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices for all the appointed sacred feasts of the Lord, as well as those brought as free will offerings to the Lord. Verse 6, on the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. Can I tell you, in verse 2 of Ezra, chapter 3, they built an altar first, but it wasn't a one-time experience. Now, we read a lot of stuff and you're like, what is all that stuff? Let me tell you, you don't have to understand all of that stuff. Well, here's what you need to understand. They kept coming back to the altar. They went to the altar in the morning and they came back to the altar at night. And when there was a new season came along in their life, they were in the altar. They brought free will offerings. What is that? That means I just feel like I should bring something to the Lord. Nobody has to put something on my calendar. I just think I want to go to the house of the Lord. Even though there's no house at this moment, there's just a broken down city with an altar. But they said, I want to come and bring something to God. They kept coming back to the altar. The altar should not be a one-time experience. Now, listen here. I don't know who's listening on the internet or in this room right now, but I want to tell you, the altar has become a one-time experience in Christianity, where people come to an altar one time and they say a sinner's prayer and they never visit that altar again. Let me tell you, you should keep coming back to the altar. It's the meeting place of God. You got to come back to the altar. Right. Amen. Israel kept coming back. Now, spoiler alert. Before today is over, we're going to invite everyone to make use of this altar today. Yeah. The altar is not a place reserved for the biggest sinner in the room. It doesn't mean, oh, look, they came to the altar. They must have some hideous, awful sin that we should gossip about. Like gossip isn't a hideous, awful sin? Come on, somebody. All right. The altar is not a place reserved for those that have the biggest, worst sin. It is reserved for those who long to have a meeting with the Lord of glory. Anybody long to have a meeting with the Lord of glory today? I do. I'm the guy preaching to you. I can't wait to be in this altar. I want you to notice I'm always in this altar. Now, there's several reasons why. Number one, I want to model for you that you need to be in this altar. And there's no shame in the game of being in the altar. But also, man, if there's anybody that needs to talk to God, it is me. If there's anybody that needs to have a meeting with the Lord, it is me. And if there's anybody that needs to knock off all the burdens that I've been carrying, it is me. Why don't you join me today in this altar before today's over, all right? Cool. All right. So we need an altar. But that's not all we need. It's not all we need. Israel had an altar, but they still stood in a mess of a city. It's not God's will that you have an altar and just have a mess of a life. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to fix things. He wants to make the crooked ways straight. He wants to make all things good. He wants to make all things new and restore things. It's God's will to restore the city, just like it's God's will to restore every area of your life. So what should happen next? We built an altar first. But what is the next first thing we should do? What's the first thing we should do next? We've built the altar. What's next? Well, Ezra, look back at Ezra chapter 3, verse 6. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. They had an altar, but they lacked a temple. They needed a temple if the city was ever going to be fully restored. Right. They needed a temple because they had an Ark of the Covenant. They need a place for that. They need a place called the Holy of Holies. That's the dwelling place of God. And they needed a temple for that. They desired and wanted a place of worship in their life. But not only did they not have the building, they didn't have the foundation laid. That's what Ezra 3:6 says. Can I tell you today to build a foundation first? Before you can build the building, you need a foundation. The most important part of any house or any structure is the foundation. What does the foundation do? It supports the building. The foundation stabilizes the structure. The foundation stands in integrity against the sifting sands and settling soils. And it protects the building. They wanted to see a building. They wanted it to be beautiful. They wanted it to honor God. But they could not forget about the next first thing they needed to do. They needed a foundation. Yeah. There are a lot of lives that have built amazing careers, have reached heights of success and fame, athletes that have achieved near perfect physical conditions. I don't want to brag or anything. People that have gathered material wealth. I think I heard someone groan on that one. All right. Ugh. All right. People that have gathered material wealth. It's more than we can even fathom. The amount that like Bill Gates makes in, you know, a minute, seconds, right? People that have seen dreams realized and received awards and accolades in front of the entire world. Stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. We've seen these stories and these people only to see some of them ultimately fail. We know these stories. You could think about some of those stories. Why? Per person, you can almost look at it. It's because although they achieved great things, they lacked a foundation. You must build a foundation first. That is what Jesus tells us in his parable in Matthew chapter 7. Here it is, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not place them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. If you grew up in Sunday school, perhaps you knew a little song with hand gestures about that song, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. My wife didn't know it. Anybody know it? No? All right. I've got too much pride in my life to teach it to you right now. So maybe later. All right. We've got this parable right here. And there's how many men in this parable?
Two.
One of them is wise and one of them is foolish. All right. But really, there's only one thing that separates these two titles. There's only one decision that separates wise from foolish. You see, both of them set out to build a house. That's the same. There's no differences brought up in this parable about the house. The only thing that separates the wise from the foolish is the foundation. The wise man built on a foundation that withstood the storms. He built his house on the rock. But the foolish man did not build on the solid rock, and his house had a great crash. You see, both of them faced the same storm. It wasn't like one faced a bigger storm. No, they both faced the same storm in life. Look around this room. Everyone in this room is going to face a storm. Everyone's going to face a storm. And everybody in this room is trying to build something. What separates foolish from wise is the foundation. Whatever it is that you want to build this year, can I tell you, you need to build the foundation first. You see, the foundation will decide the building's fate. The foundation will decide the building's fate. If the foundation is not true, then the building won't be true either. We know relationships that were built on untrue foundations. We know people who had untrue moral foundation. We know people who dream big, but the foundation of their work ethic was not enough to support their dream. You got to have a foundation. I suggest you build foundation first.
All right.
It's really hard to build the building and then build a foundation.
Yeah.
Really difficult. This is the problem with most New Year's resolutions. We build dreams without ever considering the foundation. The foundation will decide the fate. The foundation will decide the building size.
Yeah.
It would be a disaster to build a skyscraper, many stories tall, but to build it on a foundation the size of your home. Let's just remove our home. We're going to use our home's foundation. And now we're just going to, build about 50 stories high building on this foundation. That would be a poor decision. The bigger the building, the bigger and stronger a foundation is required. A taller structure requires a deeper foundation. A foundation that now you can't even see. See, you can barely see a foundation anyway. But the taller you want to build, the higher heights you want to build, there is going to be foundation built in depths that no one will ever see. See, let me tell you, that's one of the biggest problems with musicians. Musicians that want to be up on stage, but not want to be in the practice room. I went to school with some of them, but also I could also point you to my fellow classmates who spent a lot of time in practice rooms, and now they are shining on stages all over the world. They built depths in their foundation. And how about a wide structure? You see, it would be foolish to build a structure wider than your foundation. That wouldn't work. So there are some people, they've got certain compartmentalized areas of their life that have foundations. Mommy taught me to do these things. But then they go to college and they try to build this part of their life. And this part of their life falls to heck. What happened? They tried to build bigger than their foundation. Your foundation, it decides the fate. And it also decides the size. If you want to do big things in life, you better get started on a big foundation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You want to build great things? Then you need a great foundation.
That's right.
This works in every area of life. Want to do great things in the workplace? Do you?
Yeah.
Well, build a better foundation first. Work hard. Be on time. Study up. Show leadership. Show dedication. That's foundational. Want to do great things in your marriage? You better build a foundation first. Work hard. Grow as a person. Admit and correct your mistakes. You want to do great things in God? Well, you better build a foundation first. Work hard. You notice all these began with the word work. Work hard. Better get in the Word of God. You better study to show yourself approved. You better learn to serve. You better learn to give. You better learn to give all the problems and all the things you can't handle back to the Lord. You want to do these great things, you've got to have a great foundation.
That's right.
Jesus equated a foundation to what? Think back to his parable in Matthew 7. He equated that foundation to what? Hearing his word and putting it into practice. That's what he equated that foundation. Do you hear the words of Jesus? I tell you, this is the biggest problem with not being at church. I know we had some people that were sick today. You better be watching the podcast. Build a foundation, y'all. But this is what bothers me about people not being at church. It's not, oh man, my attendance numbers are going to look bad this week. No, that's really shallow and not a big deal. What the big deal is, somebody might not be building a foundation this week. And they might have this habit of, we only see them one every 3 weeks. And so they're going to have this spotty foundation. They aren't really serious about building this foundation. We need to see that. We need to see that. We need to be hearing the words of Jesus, putting them into action. We're building a foundation right now. I'm doing my best not to mess up your foundation. Lupita, I'm trying. We're hearing his word. The word of Jesus is being preached right now. Will you finish the foundation by putting his word into action? You see, I can bring you the word of Jesus. You can open up your Bible and read the words of Jesus. But now it's time for you to do the work hard part and put them into action. Can I tell you that prayer is foundational? Are you building that foundation? It really convicts me. There are a lot of Christians in the world. They're like the majority of all Americans prescribe Christianity. But the majority of all Americans spend little to no time in prayer. They have no foundation there. Enough about that. But how about this? Worship is foundational. Is that happening in your life? Does it only happen when a worship team is up on the stage? Is that the only time that happens? Then that's a spotty foundation, right? Is the foundation of your worship large enough to support what you want to build? Is that foundation large enough that it affects everyone in your home? All right? You need that foundation. The Word of God is foundational. Do you read your Bible? I feel so bad. I feel so bad. Dwight came to our prayer meeting on my house on Wednesday. And he's like, he wrote me back, I think I left my Bible at your house. I'm like, oh man, let me get that to you. And I never got it to him all week. And then he came up to me today. And I'm just like, oh, hey, Dwight, how are you doing? He's like, hey, did you bring my Bible? And I was like, I feel so terrible. You do have a Bible, right? All right, good. This Wednesday, I'll make sure you get it. I'm so sorry. The Word of God is foundational. You don't want to go losing the Word of God.
Right.
You got to put that in your heart. Do you read your Bible? Again, most Christians don't. Can I tell you that repentance is foundational? There's a place in your Bible that calls repentance a foundation. It does. Can I tell you that baptism is foundational? Do you lack a baptismal foundation in your spiritual life? Yeah. Talk to us. We want to baptize you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's foundational. Man, you talk about power. That is a foundation. Man, that is like the cement that will get in every nook and cranny, every crack in your life. The Holy Spirit will get right in there and bring strength and bring healing. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. That's foundational. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Yes. Whatever you want to build, you need to build a foundation first. You need this. If we talked about any of this stuff and you're lacking it, let that hit you and let you make a difference. Make a change in your life today, all right? Work hard and build that foundation. Altars are easy to build. We talked about that last week. But foundations take work. The altar is easy to build. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't take much effort or materials. But foundations are different. Foundations are different than that. Everything you build rests on the foundation you will lay. It must stand up to pressure. Foundations take work. Ezra chapter 3 verse 7. Then they gave... I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading that next word. What is that? Then they gave what?
Money.
I'm sorry, that's got to be wrong. They did what?
Money.
I don't understand this word. We don't ever say this word at church. What is this word?
Money.
Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters. And gave what?
Food and drink.
Food and drink and... oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre so that they would bring cedar logs by sea through Lebanon to Joppa as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. All right, well, let's talk about this. An altar won't cost you. An altar is not going to cost you. Here, we talked about how easy it was to build an altar last week. If you could just pile up some dirt, you could have an altar. How much does dirt cost? It doesn't cost, you know, just a few minutes to shovel that up. Altars don't cost you much. Can I tell you, an altar, you know where the cost is in the altar? The cost is in the sacrifice that's on the altar. If there's any cost being made, it's not the person that builds the altar. It's the sacrifice upon the altar. Jesus has paid the price of the altar. You don't have to buy the altar. It's already been purchased for you on the cross of Calvary.
All right.
And the church said amen about that.
Yeah, amen.
But a foundation, that costs. Then they gave money. Then they gave food. And they gave oil. They gave food and drink. Now, they gave what? They gave these things that they had. They gave these possessions of theirs. There was money, there's food, there's drink, there's oil. Who gave the money? Who gave the food? Who gave the drink? Who gave the oil? The people that were building, the people that wanted to build a temple, they gave. There are things you want to build that are going to cost you. They will cost you money. They will cost you your heart. In fact, Jesus told us that our heart and our money, that is our treasure, they occupy the same place. There are things you want to build that they're going to cost you your possessions. They're going to cost you time. They're going to cost you energy. Redemption Church would not be here at 903 West Parker Road, Plano, Texas, meeting inside the Ivy School at the very strange time of 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons without people who give. We wouldn't be here. We might be somewhere, but we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to do what we do in reaching out to the lost in other countries and to helping people in this area. While we are talking about first things first, can I just take 1 minute, and I really mean 1 minute here, to talk about your money. Your money. The tithe. We are told too in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 to honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops. The tithe, which is the first 10%, everybody said first 10%?
First 10%
of your increase, is also referred to as first fruits. Tithe is not an amount of money. It is a percentage. But it is also not just a percentage. Tithing is the first percentage of your increase. It is the first fruits. Are you giving to God in such a way that shows he is first in priority in your life? That first things first. We have all this money, God, but here you are first in it. I mean, we've all been there at the end of the month, like we pay this person, pay this person, pay this person, pay this person. All right, we have just enough. We'll pay this person last. No, number one, we aren't paying God. We're giving God just like we come to the altar and we give free will offerings to God and we bring all these offerings to God. We're bringing this offering to God, but we aren't waiting to see if we have enough. We're putting him first. That's the idea of the tithe. It is the first fruits of your crop. Now, if you only make $10, can I tell you, you have a first 10% of that $10. Yeah. It just, when are you going, what are you going to put first in that $10? Everyone, it doesn't matter if you make that $10, if you make $1 million, everyone has a first 10%. Everyone has a tithe. That's what that means. I remember one sweet lady, she just said, you know, I don't have enough money to pay tithes. And, you know, it was really sweet to her, but inside me, I said, it's not an amount, it's a percentage, and it's a priority. It's a priority. And we're building foundations. You see, giving and serving are foundational. And we need to be giving in such a way that shows he is that priority in our life. If you are giving in that way, can I tell you, you're building a foundation that will support you and bring blessing. It's going to support a lot of blessing. I want to, you get this picture that, you know, you build this foundation through giving, and then God builds the house on it, and he does it. He knows how much your foundation can support. And so when you're really trusting him in every area of your life, this goes far beyond money. When you're trusting him in every area of your life, he knows what you can handle, and he builds what you can handle in your life. And so if you're building a great foundation with him, he can build that much more on your life. Does this make sense? Yeah. The Israelites gave money to purchase materials that would be used to build the foundation. Had they not, they'd still be sitting there without a temple. Can I tell you, foundations take time. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. In the second month of the second year. What? How long? The second month of the second year. 2 years and 2 months was a waiting time. I hate waiting. I hate waiting 5 minutes. But if there's something I really want to do in life and I have to wait 2 years and some months to get that, that would drive me crazy. Second month of the second year, they set out to build. Why so long? Because foundations take time. Remember the altar, you could have an instantaneous meeting with God and that relationship becomes so instantaneous. But I tell you, foundations, they take time. You have to clear a space. You have to, you know, there is junk in this area. We want to build this building. We got to clear this space for the foundation. They had an old broken down temple where they wanted the new temple to go. They had to clear that space. That takes time. And then you have to gather the materials. That takes money, but that also takes time. You have to build a foundation, and foundations take time. Now, I'm really sorry, but I have no quick, easy answers for you today. Quick, easy answers do not equate to foundations. The step of building a foundation won't fit nicely in a checklist of things to do in a day. It's going to take money. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort, energy, heart. It's going to take a lot of patience, but it is worth it because it will hold up everything you're dreaming for, everything you're longing for. There's some of you, you're dreaming of a day where your life looks like You got it? You got that picture? You better have a foundation that holds it up. Some of y'all are looking for that day. You're looking forward to retirement. You're seeing that picture. You're seeing, you got the kids out of the house, and now what is our house going to look like? You got to have a foundation. Number one, your marriage needs to last that long, right? All right, there's a foundation you got to build. We have this dream. We are seeing God's will for Redemption Church, but we are just kidding ourselves if we aren't building a foundation. Then, in Ezra chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us about the foundation being laid. So it took some time. It took some effort. It took some money. It took a lot of stuff, a lot of cost involved. But finally, chapter 3, verse 10, the foundation's being laid. What does it say? When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by the king of David, verse 11. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Verse 12, it goes on. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. Last verse, verse 13. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard from far away. It was heard far away. I want to tell you real quick. Foundations are praiseworthy. Foundations are praiseworthy. There are usually celebrations over finished building projects. There are ribbon cutting ceremonies with the ridiculously big scissors. Where do you get those? Ceremonies, and everyone comes from everywhere to see this completed work, and they all clap, and it's like, yay, what a wonderful day. It's our grand opening. But in Ezra 3, there's a commotion made. Not over a finished temple, but over the laying of the foundation. There's no ribbon to cut, but they are celebrating unlike any ribbon cutting you've ever been to. There is rejoicing. There is music. There is shouting. There is weeping and crying. There is singing that the Lord is good and he endures in his love for Israel forever. Everyone who laid the foundation was moved and full of praise. Can I tell you something? If we're talking about a spiritual foundation in your life, if you're lacking praise, you're lacking part of your foundation. Just going to tell you like it is. I know some people are like, I'm really a shy person. No, everyone here that was building this foundation was completely moved. Now, they were all moved in different ways, and you can be moved in different ways. But here's the deal. Everybody was worshiping. Everybody was part of it, all right? So we're building a foundation, and when we worship together, join that. Join the worship team. You can join the worship team from sitting right there. You worship with us, all right? That builds a foundation. Here's what did not happen in Ezra chapter 3. They did not take the foundation for granted. Is it okay to rejoice over the foundation? Is it okay to be moved to tears when a foundation is being laid? Am I in a church that rejoices over the cross of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ? Then we recognize when any life takes on that, that that is an amazing foundation and that moves us to worship God. Am I standing in that kind of church today? Am I in a church that loves to see new souls baptized into the Christ? And we respond a little bit like Israel when they saw that foundation being laid. Am I in a church that loves loves to give in the kingdom of God, that loves to see the gospel of Christ spread throughout the world, that we love to hear about what's happening in Maikop, Russia, that we love to hear what's happening in Cifuentes, Cuba, that we love to hear what's happening in Haiti, that we love to hear what's happening across the street. Where is God moving? Is he moving at Villaggio? Tell me more. Am I in that kind of church? Am I in a church that is not tired of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Am I in a church that will stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation? Am I in a church that's not afraid to share this Christ with the lost and dying world? Redemption Church, when was the last time you rejoiced over the foundation being laid? We should not be a church ho-humming through another service. No, we're laying the foundation. And Israel went crazy when the foundation was laid. People were going insane in their love for God. Is that us? Is that you? It needs to be us. When? Every time. When? Every time. But I've heard that sermon before. No, you don't understand. Someone hadn't heard this sermon before. The foundation of the Lord is being laid. Lupita, man, we need Sunday school teachers like you, that you're excited to talk about the cross again. And next week you're going to talk about the cross again, but you're just as excited. And next week she's going to talk about the cross. You might have the same kids, but you understand you have another opportunity to lay a foundation in their life. That's what we need. We need that. Pastor Scott, he's back there working with the kids today. Pastor Scott, do not get ho-hum about laying the foundation. We're rooting for you. We're rejoicing every time we hear about one more person hearing about Jesus. Woo! Oh man, it's the foundation. Where would I be without foundation in my life? I'm excited. I want to see it in my kids' life. I want to see it in your life. I want to see all of Plano, Texas get this foundation laid. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavens rejoice over the foundation. In Luke 15:7, Jesus tells us that heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. Now, you might just go, oh, man, they just put out like one little balloon and little candle and said, hello, that's great. Woo, someone repented. No, I think my picture is that they go crazy. My picture is that they throw an absolute party in heaven. Not when there's a 1,000-person revival. No, every time one sinner repents. I myself, I know many times, have set heaven ablaze. I set it to ablaze maybe every day when I repent and ask God to take away all of my sins. Heaven throws a party every time. Why? They have never gotten tired of this one fact. Repentance is a foundation, and the foundation is to be celebrated. The foundation is praiseworthy, and all of heaven gets up. All of heaven goes ballistic every time the foundation is laid. Could it be that while you are laying your foundation, heaven is rejoicing? Sometimes you feel like no one notices the foundation. It's like this forgotten part of the building. Oh, no, 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 it's not forgotten. Heaven sees it. Heaven knows about it. It is written down in the Lamb's book of life. It is not forgotten. Not one thing you've done for the Lord has ever been forgotten. Could it be while you are working hard, sweating under the burden of work, that heaven is rejoicing? Some of you are working here at the church and you might be thinking, what's the point of this? What's the point? You know, we got to go put out these signs again. Oh, no, no. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in season you will reap. If you faint not, if you keep working, because the foundation is praiseworthy and it always makes a difference. I know that you're sacrificing when you give your time and your finances, but do not stop. You're laying a foundation. I notice it. Other people notice it. People you would never guess are noticing it. But most of all, your Father in heaven, he notices it and he loves it. All of heaven rejoices over you. Everyone rejoices about the finished product. But I dare you to rejoice now by faith over the foundation. You will have no future greater than your foundation. I want you to say that with me. You will have no future greater than your foundation. I have told you that the foundation defines what you are building. You don't build larger than your foundation. So if you want to build a great life, what should your foundation look like? What should go in to that foundation today? If you're looking for a blessed home and a loving marriage with kids who don't hate you and actually respect you, which is an unbelievable thing to see nowadays. Can we just get real? It is, little Rob, it is amazing when you love your parents and you respect them and you say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. That is amazing. It's amazing. Clap for this dude right there. It's amazing. But if you want that, what kind of foundation do you need to build? What kind of work do you need to put into this? If you want to be used of God, if you want to help other people, if you want to leave your mark on earth, an indelible mark that you were here one day and then one day you weren't, but what you did on earth had a lasting impact. You want that? Well, then what kind of foundation are you building right now? Do you want a life far beyond ordinary? Then you need a foundation far beyond ordinary. You will need a foundation that is up to the strength and stability of the object you are building. So what will your foundation be? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us about such a life that is built to be extraordinary. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. Basically, that's saying you're not just anybody anymore. You're not just ordinary. No, you're more than that. Now you're fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. That sounds extraordinary, doesn't it? You're no longer just anybody that's running around without citizenship and a legal alien in a foreign land. No, no, no. You belong in God's household. You belong in God's nation. You're called by God's name, because you're in his household. Verse 20, built on the foundation. Oh, what's this foundation? Of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. There's a lot going on here, but let's come back to verse 20 real quick. If you could pop that back up there. This thing that God is being, that it's being built, a life that's beyond ordinary, it's built on the word of God. It's built on the words of the apostles. It's built on the words of the prophets, but it is also built on the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Don't have a whole lot of time to talk to you about the cornerstone, but that's a part of the foundation. The chief cornerstone goes in the corner, and it is the number one corner in that building. And if everything lines up with that cornerstone, then you're going to have a perfect foundation. But if it's not lining up, it's not the foundation it could be. That's what Jesus Christ is. Is he a part of your foundation that you're building today? If you put him as your chief cornerstone, the thing that you use to measure every part of your life and your foundation, the life that you want to build, you're using Jesus to help you square it up. That's going to lead to a life not ordinary, but extraordinary. Verse 21, in him, in who? In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a temple in the Lord. No, well, wait. I want you to get this picture. They just talk about this foundation. Who builds the foundation? We're building the foundation. We're building it. We're collecting the apostles, the prophets, and we're making Jesus Christ. But what happens? Where does this building come from? It rises. If you will do the work building this foundation, the Lord will build the house. If you will build this foundation, God himself will cause the house to rise. You mark my words, it's charged with the Holy Spirit and you need to receive it right now. He said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. How important is a foundation? It's everything. Because when you get the foundation right and Jesus Christ is square in the middle of it, lining everything up, then God himself rises the temple. And you're going to see that over the next few weeks when we're talking, we go back to Ezra. You're going to see that that temple rises in miraculous ways that Israel could never do themselves. God wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for you. Will you let him be a part of the foundation of your life? Will you put him as that number one priority in your heart? And verse 22, and in him, again, who's him? Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Where's the temple? Point at yourself. Point at yourself. That's the temple. God's building the temple on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Do you want to build a foundation today? Do you want a life that's just not an ordinary life? Have you had enough of ordinary? I've had enough of ordinary. I want supernatural. I've had enough of that. I want more. I want everything that God has for me. If you want that kind of life today, these altars are open. Why don't you come down? Why don't you have a meeting place with God right now? I want to pray with you. This altar's right now open. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. If you want that, you just come in the first 2 feet. But right now, we're asking God to help us. We're asking God to raise up a temple. We are asking God to put Jesus Christ in the middle of our nation. Right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this room, God, that they would feel the Holy Spirit, that they would feel the Word of God, that they would make
changes. Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.